Good morning and welcome on the eighth Sunday after Pentecost. Hope everyone is doing well. A couple quick announcements. Council meeting will be on August the 10th at 7 o'clock in the church office. August the 16th, we will be doing a back-to-school blessing. This will be done virtually, unless the Synod lets us reopen the church. We want to let everyone know that as this goes forward, we will still continue to follow the guidelines set forth by the Governor of North Carolina and the North Carolina Synod office. Birthdays and anniversaries today. Happy birthday to Lori Conrad, Brian Garner, Brent McLan, Lamb, Jane Devonta Ventura, and we have no anniversaries. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Let us pray. Beloved and sovereign God, through the death and resurrection of your Son, you bring us into your kingdom of justice and mercy. By your Spirit, give us your wisdom, that we may treasure the life that comes from Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Children.
Talkative today. That's fine. So our gospel lesson today, we're going to talk about treasures. So some people have different ideas of what treasures are. For me, in the last 6 months, because of my situation with my eyes, you know, my glasses and my contacts have become a bit of a treasure. And I do have to hunt for that treasure quite often if I lay these readers down. But for other people, this could be treasure. What's that? Okay. Well, for some people, this is treasure. For some people, it's gold. It's silver. For some people, believe it or not, for some people, it's books. Some people like to read, and that's their treasure. So for us today, we have to understand that there are many treasures out there that can tempt us. But there's one very special treasure that we have in our hearts and that we have in our building today, reminders of treasure, and that's of Jesus Christ, our heavenly treasure. So that is so much better than any of these treasures that we have. And we want to make sure that we're ready to follow Jesus and to claim that heavenly treasure. Can you do that for me this week? Can you look for your heavenly treasure a little bit, talking to mom and dad? And for all you kids out there as well, think about what your treasure is and where your treasure is and the heavenly treasure that Jesus Christ provides for us. Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you for the heavenly treasure you provide. Watch over us. Continue to help us and to keep us focused on that heavenly treasure, your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Thank you.
Our first reading for this Sunday is from 1 Kings. At Gideon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I should give you." And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant, my father David, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart towards you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love, and have given him a son to sit on his throne today. And now, O Lord my God, excuse me, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, although I am only a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in, and your servant is in the midst of the people whom you have chosen, a great people, so numerous that they cannot be numbered or counted. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people and to discern between good and evil. For you who govern this, your great people. It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. God said to him, because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life, riches, or for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, I now do according to your word. Indeed, I give you a wise and discerning mind. No one like you has been before you, and no one like you shall rise after you. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The psalm today is Psalm 119, beginning with 129. Your decrees are wonderful, therefore I obey them with all my heart. When your word is opened, it gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. I open my mouth and pant because I long for your commandments. Turn to me and be gracious to me, as you always do to those who love your name. Order my footsteps in your word. Let no iniquity have dominion over me. Rescue me from those who oppress me, and I will keep your commandments. Let your face shine up on your servant, and teach me your statutes. My eyes shed streams of tears because people do not keep your teachings. The second reading for today is from Romans. The Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But the very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is in mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be firstborn within a large family. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own Son, but gave him up for all of us, and he will not with him also he gives everything else. Who will bring any charge against God's elect? If God who justifies, who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who is the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardships or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword or COVID-19? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are accustomed as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ our Lord. Here ends the reading, the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nest in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down, and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all of this? They answered, yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
to you, O Christ. So, have you ever lost or misplaced something? I don't misplace things very often, but when I do, there's a kind of a standard I go to. I just start looking around frantically with no plan in sight. So I'm just looking everywhere, not really thinking about what I'm actually looking at. Could I find my keys maybe in like the refrigerator? I've opened the door and looked in the refrigerator. So looking for a lost item in all these wrong places kind of came to mind as I was going through today's gospel. Losing something describes this person's quest as they're looking everywhere, looking all around in all these wrong places, trying to find that item. And this scenario came to mind because I believe losing something can describe something else within each of us. Something that is not just a quest to find a lost item. It can describe the way that we who are human are looking for something to fill kind of a longing deep within each one of us. A longing that ultimately sends us seeking. So it can, in one way, be descriptive of our quest for God's presence in life. This presence that can only be revealed by a gracious God of love. We long for the dream of God, for God's kingdom, and the presence to become realized in this world and in our lives, but we tend to look for God in all the wrong places. We tend to look for God just out there someplace, up in the heavens, or someplace just far away. So today, Jesus continues to describe the kingdom of heaven. The way that we talk about God, the way that God is at work in the world. And some of his words can be a little bit surprising. He doesn't describe a kingdom that is far off in the distance, in some exalted place up there or somewhere out there. No, he describes the reign of God by using analogies that are literally very down to earth. A mustard seed, some yeast, a thief, a merchant. In his stories, he uses examples of an annoying seed and a corrupt agent. He describes qualities that seem hidden. He uses some rather corrupt characters in the process. So to kind of take a look at these parables, the parable of the mustard seed. It's one of the best known of Jesus' stories. Mustard seeds are so small that they're actually almost weightless. They can go easily unnoticed. They can lie hidden and undetected in a large sack of other seeds. So you can imagine an unsuspecting farmer just unwittingly sowing a mustard seed in his field as he's sowing his wheat, and it overtaking. Because, well, mustard is actually a wild weed. It's something farmers would try to get out of the field because once it's sown, it's hard to get rid of. Jesus uses the example of this bothersome weed that grows from this small, hidden seed, but when germinated, becomes this huge bush that tends to take over the field. Jesus is describing the way God is at work in the world. And he compares it to this minuscule, annoying seed that can hardly be seen, but grows and is transformed into this life-giving tree as it becomes a place for birds to make their nest. So in this little parable, unnoticed beginnings of the work in the kingdom of God are compared with this great, even surprising result. So think about it. Can't see the seed. Were you looking in the right place? Jesus goes on and uses another example, talking about the yeast. Yeast was also an unwanted agent. During this time, it was something that bloats and rots corpses. It was also something that women would attempt to get rid of when they're cleaning their homes in preparation for Passover. Because in a Jewish tradition, yeast was a symbol of corruption and impurity. So it was considered evil and unclean. However, in Jesus' parable, we find out that yeast becomes the agent of a miraculous growth of God's kingdom. And basically, it permeates every part of dough. Like a woman who spoils the flour with yeast, God is fermenting the kingdom of heaven within the world, within communities, within each one of us. And that kingdom permeates all of creation, and it has this transforming power in this world. So in light of the stories, do we have eyes to see God's reign hidden in everyday life? Are we able to trust God's transforming presence and love in the midst of everyday life? Or are we too often looking for God, once again, in all the wrong places? So in the next story, Jesus uses an analogy of a deceitful thief. He tells the story of a man who discovers treasure buried in someone else's field. The man then quickly sells all that he has to buy the field from this other guy without telling him, the owner, about the treasure. So you got to wonder, what was this man doing anyway, digging around in someone else's field? And in light of the Jesus story, we got to ask, is God kind of like the thief who gives up all that he has to buy the whole field, the world, the cosmos, simply to possess that treasure and claim it, and the entire purchase is God's own? So can you picture a God with so much grace? Once again, have we been looking for God in all the wrong places? Jesus just continues telling one story after another. His next one's about a pearl merchant. Now, merchants were not held in the highest esteem in this ancient culture. So in this little story, Jesus compares the kingdom of heaven to a merchant searching for that one pearl of great value. When he joyfully finds it, he sells everything that he has in order that he may buy that one pearl. So in essence, this merchant put himself out of business by radically selling all he has to make that ultimate purchase. So we have to ask, what's the most radical act through which we see God's immeasurable love for this broken world? As we keep moving through Jesus' stories, we come to the parable of the dragnet. Basically, when the net is cast into the sea, it catches all kinds of fish, good and bad. And the fishermen indiscriminately pull all the fish and wait to sort them out later. In our world, the good, the shady, the bad, they do exist all together, even within ourselves. And in this world, we often spend too much time trying to figure out who is in and who is not. So we have to say, if those fishermen are willing to pull in all sorts of fish and have them sorted later, I think we can probably let God take care of sorting in God's own good time, because God's the one who loves us the most. Jesus uses these examples of dishonest people and questionable items to describe God at work in this world. Today, Jesus shares some staggeringly good news. The reign of God is not far away, but very close at hand. It's present to us, between us as people of God, and even within us. And in the person of Jesus, we find the God of creation, not far off, but incarnate and present to us in human form. We no longer have to look in all the wrong places to find God, to find the author of love. We no longer have to look in all the wrong places to discover we are loved. The truth is, God's kingdom is closer to us than the air that we breathe. And God is at work in each one of us, even in those parts of ourselves that we want to hide. God is even embracing our brokenness and transforming us in the process. The kingdom of God is still under construction, and we are still under construction. But that kingdom is growing. The good news is that God so loves the world that God is continually at work in our lives in this world in order to draw us in love, closer and closer to God's self and to each other. Amen.
Let us say what we believe by the use of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
With the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Merciful God, your reign is revealed to us in common things. A mustard seed, a woman baking bread, a fishing net. Help your church witness to the surprising yet common ways you encounter us in daily life. Lord, in your mercy. When your word is opened, it gives light and understanding. Increase our understanding and awe of your creation. God, the work of scientists and researchers, treasuring the earth, may we live as grateful and healing caretakers of our home. Lord, in your mercy. As the birds of the air nest in branches of trees, gather the nations of the world into the welcoming shade of your merciful reign. Direct leaders of nations to build trust with each other and walk in the way of peace. Lord, in your mercy. Your Spirit helps us in our weakness and intercedes for the saints according to your will. Help us when we do not know how to pray. Give comfort to the dying, refuge to the weary, justice to those who are oppressed, and healing to the sick. Lord, in your mercy. You show steadfast love and direct us to ask of you what we need. Help this congregation ask boldly for what is most needed. Refresh us with new dreams of being your people in this place and time. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayers.
In you, our lives are never lost. Strengthen us by the inspiring witness of your people in all times and places. Embolden our witness now, and one day gather us with all your saints in light. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. Let us pray. O God of justice and love, we give thanks to you that you illumine our way through life with the words of your Son. Give us the light we need, awaken us to the needs of others, and at the end, bring all the world to your feast. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and glory forever and ever. Amen. Do need to say our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.
Go in peace, serve the risen Lord.